were sat in Tavistock Square Gardens, literally at the feet and slightly underneath of Mahatma Gandhi. It is I, Christian Payne, at Documentally, and Brian Jones, otherwise known on Twitter as...
at I am Brian Jones. And at the moment I appear as hashtag Cargo Curious.
Why?
I've changed the name because I want to put out a different message. I want to say something that appears in someone's stream to make them think. Because my Twitter name is already my name. It's I am Brian Jones. So that has my name in it already.
Last week when I was in Ireland, my Twitter name was obviously Documentally, but my name was Christian Payne is in Ireland. And I think that is kind of handy, adding that extra context without actually having to geotag your exact position everywhere. Have you been on Twitter since the beginning?
I have been on Twitter since the beginning, and I think it was you, Christian, was one of the people who pushed me gently into it. We know each other from the Llama Tree Festival, which is a festival in the Wiltshire-Dorset borders. And it's a nice small festival, family-friendly. And we were both photographers. And Christian said that he was doing podcasting. And I thought that was really interesting because my wife had just started a podcasting business. And I was just a photographer at that point.
You say that. I mean, let's not forget the influence you had on me when, for the first time in my life, I saw a very, very fine coffee bean being ground beautifully and then dropped onto a camp stove to deliver incredible pour-over coffee. You changed the way I enjoyed coffee because I was into the machines, I was into the technology. What is it with this purity?
Well, I think that the coffee, my story with coffee is tied in with my story on Twitter, and that when Christian first got me into Twitter, I was like, what am I going to do with this? Okay, there's all these people who are making coffee and talking about coffee on Twitter. I'm going to get to know them and learn from them about coffee. And it's a very good drink and there's a lot to it. I won't go into it now. We could go on for hours about coffee.
Is your archive of podcast Star Barista? If you search Star Barista podcast, would people still find it?
Yeah, they'll still find it. All the files are still hosted on my Google Drive, which I don't think when I first put them up, I don't think it was called Google Drive at that point. And I think, it's on a Blogger site that it's just still there. Star Barista. I think I've given up the URL. But it's sort of starbarista.blogspot.com, I think is where it's preserved.
Nice. And was it you that influenced me and got me into Brompton folding bicycles as well? I don't know. I think I've had one since 2012. When did you cycle 100 miles to the graveside of George Orwell to join in a picnic?
Well, this would have been the first year of the Orwell picnic. Second year of the Orwell picnic. Do you remember what year that was?
Well, this will be the 11th year.
Okay, so 10 years ago.
There's a chance that was the point when I thought, hang on, these aren't just city bikes. You can do an awful lot more on them.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I was training for the Dunwich Dynamo. So if you don't know what the Dunwich Dynamo is, that is a 120-mile ride from London Fields in Hackney. And it goes through the night. It leaves. Everyone gathers at the pub in the park, has a pint, sets off. Some people stop for many pints along the way and don't make it, but sets off through the night. And if you're lucky, you'll get to Dunwich on the Suffolk coast 120 miles later before sunset, and you'll see the sun. You'll see the sunrise on the beach. So I was training for that. And on the day of the Orwell picnic, I took a train somewhere, I don't remember where, rode 50 miles to wherever Christian was at Orwell's gravesite, and then 50 miles back to the train station. So that was 100 miles. And at that time, I was doing 100 miles a weekend, and I was going up to Hampstead in North London and training on the hills there. So when it did come time to do the Dunwich Dynamo 120 miles on a Brompton, it was a piece of cake. I just kept pedaling, and I just pedaled all night. There was another guy who, another American guy who I knew from Twitter. I didn't know him very well, but because I had a bigger chain ring, I was able to get out faster. And I never saw him again that night. I think he headed for the train and went back to London. But yeah, I kept going and I was really tired at the end, but it was really nice just to get to the beach. A friend of mine had some whiskey, had a whiskey on the beach at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then went for a swim in the sea. And then my wife picked me up and I went to a hotel and slept next to a swimming pool the whole day.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? As we both sit beneath Gandhi watching this pallet with, I don't know what is on top of that he's dragging through here. It's either a massive dead ghost or some plastic bagging. It's quite amazing, the community around the Brompton bicycles, originating in the 80s. It's got this weird cult following now. And there's a lot of people very passionate. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people that just use this as a tool to get to and from work. But there's a lot of people that take this engineering very seriously. Would you say you're one of them? I mean, your modifications have been a bit of an eye-opener to me because you're on the very functional side.
I am on the very functional side. I'm quite tall. I'm 6'2". And I like it to be as comfortable as possible. I haven't done a lot of modifications. I've put some nice big pedals on from SKS in Japan that provide a really nice big platform. I guess we can put a link in the show notes for this.
Yeah, you're giving me extra work now, but yeah. Carry on.
maybe I can log in and I'll tweet below it. I'll add to the thread. And what else have I done? I've put metal mudguards on because I was finding that the older ones shattered a lot and I got tired of replacing them.
You do thousands of miles though. Over the history of bikes.
Yeah. I ride the thing a lot and basically I just want it to work and I don't want to have to fix anything. So when I take it out of my office, which these days isn't as much as I used to, when I take it out of my office, I want it to just work. Like coming down here to see Christian, say, I'll take the Brompton, take it out, and it just works. It just works perfectly.
And when you say these days you don't as much as you used to, is that because of the amount of biking you do on different models?
I think it is. And it's also, while I love to ride the Brompton, it's very convenient to use in like a multimodal trip where you're taking a taxi or a bus or a train. It's really good for that. But when you're in your own city, going in and out of shops, it's still a piece of metal that you need to fold up and take inside. And the size of a lot of shops in London, it's even a small Brompton is too much to be carrying around in this situation. And when I was younger, I used to cart the thing around John Lewis, up and down the escalators, around the Apple store.
See, I still do that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know, maybe because you do it so much. For me, I mean, recently I've realized 12 and a half kilos is probably a little more than I would like to be running up and down stairs with. Yeah. So I think that dropping a couple of kilos makes it a completely different thing.
This is why the project that you're working on, Christian, I think is so valuable, because there are a lot of us for whom the standard Brompton is just too heavy. And that's one reason why I use my Dutch bike around London, because I can just park the thing up. It looks horrible. And no one wants to steal it. And I just lock it up and be there 5 days later.
And that's an interesting point when you say no one wants to steal it, because there seems to be no ceiling on the cost of bikes, and some people are riding around 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pound bikes, and some of the more nefarious parts of society have cottoned onto this, and there's been some bicycle muggings, haven't there, in London?
There have been. I think this time last year there was a video doing the rounds on the internet of a gang of youths in Bethnal Green set upon a man who was riding his bike through Ion Square, which is Ion Square, which is just off of Columbia Road, and basically beat him until he gave up his Brompton. And they took off on their bikes and took his Brompton and left him on the ground beaten up. And that's another reason why I don't ride mine so much in London, because there's a risk that that could happen. I don't think there's much of a risk here in central London, but in parts of Hackney where there aren't a lot of people around, that's just a reality of living in the big city.
Well, I'm glad to see that you've actually jumped on it and come out to see me on it today, because I, unfortunately, due to train cancellations, had to drive a chunk of the way here and forgot to put my bike in the car. I really wanted us to go for a ride, because I remember one night coming to London. I can't remember if I was staying at yours or
you
not,
did.
But
yeah,
we went for a blast through London at night, and how exciting!
I know. It was a lot farther than you thought. I was like, it's just around the corner. And it was probably about a 20-minute bike ride away. Christian was saying, are we there yet?
Sweating.
Bethnal Green to Islington on Halloween.
Where did we go? What did we go and see? We went to the cinema.
I don't remember. It was Halloween. It was a scary movie. It was at the Union Chapel in Islington.
A few beers were had, and I remember the ride back feeling somewhat like I was in a video game on a screen resolution where all of the pixels were tracers.
I, if you say so.
You've done mushrooms. You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I'm hoping to, develop a slightly smaller parcel of fun. It's very strange when you get out of London with a Brompton and you walk into a hotel like I have done recently in some weird and wonderful small towns in the north of England. People look at you as if you've just picked up your bike wreck off the road, like, oh, are you okay?
Yeah,
I'm fine. It's a normal bike. It's just folded up. And they're like, show me. They can't believe it. It's like witchcraft.
Yeah. That's how it is in America. I take this thing to America with me. In fact, I'm taking this one that I think Christian's going to put a picture on of taking it to Toronto for a couple of days, going to cycle around the lake and just see what there is to do in Toronto. And then we're going to a lake in Western New York State where there are no cars and people walk and bicycle everywhere. So I'll have this. And one reason that I like when I go to a place like this, because I'm so tall, the normal hire bikes aren't big enough for me. But even though the Brompton looks small, it is pretty good for a tall person. It is pretty good.
Yeah, I've had a telescopic titanium seat post on my bike since I got it. I remember at one point you were lusting after it.
Yeah.
And I've only got little legs. It's I'm not using about 4 foot of it.
Yeah.
And I did just make a little bit of a faux pas mistake with I bought a carbon fiber seat post, very thick, very light. Nice, kind of nice and springy, probably not as springy as the titanium. And I cut a bit off the bottom because I thought it was too long when it came, and it wasn't. So now I've literally only got a centimetre locking and maybe about 2.5 inches in the seat post, which I'm wondering if that's enough. But I think it's only clamping at the clamp, so I can't see that being a problem. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Should there be a splintered carbon fibre... what's it called when something goes up your bum in a non-sexual way?
Well, there's definitely a word.
It used to be a torture.
Yeah, there's definitely a medical term for the removal of said item.
Disemboweling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But if you're going to be disemboweled by anything, carbon fiber.
Is the way to go.
Well, probably not, actually. Titanium is inert. Why are we talking about this? I love mine, you love yours.
Yeah.
How do you get it on the plane? Because you did a video once.
I do. Apparently the guy who invented this is a guy called something Richie, Guy Ritchie, and it's how he, I've heard this is how he does it. He uses the Brompton cover, which is just a nylon cover, just puts it up, folds the bike up, puts this thin piece of nylon, which is like a raincoat, and then puts a couple of compression straps around it.
And but he fills it with clothes, doesn't he?
Yes, you can do that. That's what I do. Like, I took it to Stockholm last year, and I packed it with my puffer jacket and a couple of other things, and it was absolutely fine. These things are bulletproof. I really wouldn't worry about them becoming damaged. Just make sure that the the clamps are all the way screwed in or just removed, because that did happen to me once where one of the frame clamps bent. And luckily, I went to a bike shop in Philadelphia, and they had some in stock.
What is the chance of that? That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, they're getting more and more ubiquitous around the world.
Yep.
Huge followings in the Far East.
Yep.
And people even creating copy frames.
Yeah.
Purely out of titanium, which
yeah.
may be something that Brompton do in the not too distant future if people could afford such a large amount of titanium.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, Christian, how is your have you talked much about the project that you've told me about? I don't know how public.
No, not really. I saw a guy in a, I think it's called A to B magazine. Whoa, you fighter, that was interesting. You just got glassed by Gandhi.
He's been telling us to go away, I think.
That's fascinating, that is. So,
well, he wasn't totally nonviolent,
a bunch
was
of,
he?
No, maybe not. But a bunch of flowers, that could have broke.
It did.
Oh, it did break. It did so
break. There's glass amongst us.
I'm not
Should
moving.
We move locations?
I'm just going to move over here a little bit. Wow, that's the most awesome glassing I've ever had. Actually, the only.
Glass by Gandhi.
So I wonder where that was sitting for the wind to blow that onto my
It was on top.
Head.
It was
wow,
right there
we go. Sweet. Okay, we're going to move, Gandhi. Let's pop over. I think a bench might be better.
Yeah.
Just.
Are you going to cut this bit out?
I don't know. Do we want to cut this bit out? It's Audio Bloggers Month. You need to see behind the scenes as well as all of the. I tend not to like to edit.
Yeah.
Is that?
No, I think it's really good.
I think that people can filter with their ears, and on many podcasting apps now,
yeah.
it's detrimental to music, but you can. Speed up the audio to be twice as fast. Here we go. We're now sat on the grass under a gorgeous tree.
I was asking you were the thing about your project.
A to B.
Yeah.
So there's this magazine, and I bought it for 99p because it was talking about is this the world's lightest Brompton? And there's a guy in Loughborough, terrible that I can't remember his name.
Lightest Brompton, right?
What did I say?
Largest, I think.
No, definitely lightest. Yeah, thank you. So he has. Taken the Brompton and he's broke it down into its component parts, and there's a lot of blogs of people saying I use this and I use that and I use the other, but he's gone right down into actually he's gone way more than I will be able to do, not being an engineer anymore, and that is actually take apart certain sections of the frame and replace it with carbon fiber just on the rear triangle, but he's looked at this these new factories popping up in China who are all pretty much selling on Alibaba or AliExpress, which is the app that he uses. He uses the app because when he's ordering from China, it's cheaper on the app, it seems. And he has managed to get the Brompton. In the magazine, it's 8 kilos, but he's actually got it down to 7 point something now, which if you are buying a standard Brompton and it's non-titanium, it's going to be around 11 or 12. Mm, mm. The lightweight is about 10.2. And just following a little bit of his advice, I've swapped my handlebars out for a pair of carbon fiber, and I've got the S-type straight handlebars, and the seat post out for carbon fiber. And I've just put the standard Brompton seat back on, and I'm just over 10. And I'm waiting on the pedals, and I'm waiting on some of the little bits to take it sub 10 kilos, which is a huge difference, that 2 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
He's based in Loughborough. Okay. He's a retired engineer. He's
okay.
in his 70s. And,
okay. And is this his personal bicycle, or does he sell these things?
He won't do anything financially on this now. He's retired. I've asked him about this. Could I commission him to do something? No. It's an incredible amount of work. It would not be economically viable for me to do this and sell it. The whispers are, and I don't think this is bad for me to say, but he has been contacted by
a certain bicycle manufacturing company who will remain nameless at this point.
Actually the inventor
of the certain bicycle manufacturing company.
Yes. And said, really like what you've done. I would like to get hands on with it. And he's really chuffed with that. But unfortunately he's really, really ill. Possibly very, 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 very ill. So I actually offered to drive him from Loughborough to wherever in the country he needed to do to make this meeting happen, because when you're this passionate and this talented, because some of the stuff he's done is just brilliant, then I think there needs to be a meeting of minds. Because, yes, incredible 1980s technology carrying right through to today, because it just works. Loads of people copying the engineering. Yeah. Brompton as a company is very much, look at what Will is doing now, very much moving forward at a great rate of knots. Look at how much of an explosion there has been in just the manufacturing side of things. It makes sense to me that, you know, when you can buy, is it called the Bird? 7 kilo carbon fiber folding bike. Yeah, it feels like it's made of absolutely nothing and probably couldn't be carted around the world by the likes of you because it wouldn't last 5 minutes. But there is, I think, a halfway here where we can have super light, super strong.
And I guess maybe one thing we'll see is just how Brompton has partnered with other brands to come out with limited edition bikes with different designs.
Oh my God, the Chapter 3.
I don't know what that one is.
God, I saw one as I stepped off the train. I nearly mugged him. I didn't. I visually mugged the guy saying, I want that bike. Now, it's made in collaboration with a famous cyclist, I believe. If you see a very shiny metallic black with the red front, with the tan tires.
Is it the Brompton version of the new color for iPhones? That sparkly black?
I don't know, because it didn't look sparkly from a distance. All I'm saying is that colour scheme is my colour scheme. That is the documentarily red and black.
Oh, it just
works so well. And I saw that and I'm like, it's going to be hard for me to get passionate about anything else now I've seen that. It just is such a lovely look, and the components they've used have been very lightweight. One downside is that there are no mudguards, and you've said to me...
Yeah, I think they're an absolute necessity. It's just not worth the weight savings, because... If you want to use the bicycle when you want to use it, occasionally it will be raining and the bike will be unrideable. Because if you're in work clothes or anything that you want to sort of stay presentable, you really need those mudguards to keep the water off of you.
Only unrideable because of the state you were getting. That is right. I would add a caveat and say that if you are someone like myself who's very also passionate about scooters, that is push scooters, they are actually unrideable in the wet. I know, having cracked a rib not so long ago cornering on a paving slab on scooters, hard plastic wheels, you go down so hard it defies gravity and it really hurts.
But I think it also goes to what you, because you ride a motorcycle as well, and you have to be prepared sometimes to ride in the rain and keep it off
like
of you.
Motorbikes, like push bikes, pneumatic tires and the size of those wheels make it relatively safe if you know what you're doing in the wet.
Yeah, but still you don't want to get soaked.
No, totally, and it's always the groin, isn't it?
Yeah.
On bike or motorbike, the wettest part of your body is the bit that's collecting the rain.
Yeah, and it's the last time I got caught in the rain is we had some thunderstorms in London here a couple of weeks ago, and I was out on my... I took the Brompton out. That's why it's rusty. And I was, I put my phone in my front pocket. No, you put your phone in your back pocket.
And it doesn't matter now with newer iPhones, because from 7 and above, they're waterproof pretty much.
Are they?
Water-resistant 7, waterproof the 10 and the 8, I think.
Okay.
You're due an upgrade.
I'm going to the US in 2 weeks' time, and, well, I'm not buying an iPhone there. Is that the tax man?
The tax man. Yeah, totally. Go to New Hampshire. There's no tax.
Yeah.
And then, of course, claim it when you come back.
Yes.
Your VAT and all the rest.
Oh, of course, I'll do. If I were to buy one, I would definitely do that. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So, maybe a beer.
Yeah.
And we've talked about podcasting. We've talked about Gandhi's violence, even after death. glassing me. That's hilarious. And of course Brompton's. I miss my bike today. I've hardly had any walking to do, to be honest, but it's still much more fun when you're cycling.
It is. But I think going from St Pancras station to UCL walking is fine. Yeah. And you got the bike shares here in London, which are really nice for little short journeys like that.
If you were made the cycling czar overnight and they said you've got unlimited budget across London, what would you implement?
I would have congestion pricing within the M25. I would filter all of the neighborhood streets so that people driving can't get through. They need to go on the main roads. And those two things in themselves would reduce traffic by a huge amount. And then we would have spaces that there would be safe cycling, there would be protected cycle lanes on more roads, and those who really needed to drive could still drive because there'd be less other traffic, but the people who are riding would have much safer conditions to ride in.
Is this an inclusive option for the elderly, for the super young?
Definitely, definitely. Cities in the Netherlands and in Denmark, they have what's called 8-to-80 cycling culture, which is if you build cycling facilities that are rideable by an 8-year-old and an 80-year-old, they're basically rideable by everyone. It's about including everyone. And even people with disabilities, not everyone with disabilities, but there are a lot of people with disabilities who can ride hand cycles. And at the moment, it's just completely unsafe for them to ride on the roads, not separated from traffic. But yeah, those are two of the things that I would do to basically reduce the traffic, which would make it safer for cycling and there'd be less pollution.
Brian, I am Brian Jones on Twitter. Thanks very much for the conversation. It's so good to catch up.
Very good, Christian. I haven't seen you in a while, so it's good to finally see you in the flesh.
Let's go and chink some glasses without them breaking.
Yes.
What is it called when you do a little bit of audio at the end of a professional recording?
An addendum?
No. The when you're gathering ambience. What's it called?
I'll think about it while you gather the ambience.